Earth, sky.
Just like global warming or climate change will happen quicker in the Arctic, or the temperature will rise quicker in the Arctic, the effects of imbalance with nature as it relates to people, I think, will be more profound there as well. There is a real reliance. People need the environment to thrive, and the environment needs good stewardship on the part of people to thrive.
You're listening to Sven Lindblad, founder of the ecotourism company Lindblad Expeditions, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. The Arctic is being transformed by climate change, and these changes will lead to new challenges in how to govern the Arctic. That's according to a commission made up of scientists and members of industry, environmental organizations, and native representatives, organized by the Aspen Institute and the Prince Albert II of Monaco Foundation. Sven Lindblad is on the commission that released a report on the Arctic called The Shared Future. He spoke with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Mr. Lindblad, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
Now, what would you like to say is the main finding of the Shared Future report by the Aspen Institute Commission on Arctic Climate Change?
I think the main finding is that the Arctic is a very large area that has many opportunities, many stresses. Those are international stresses, national stresses, regional stresses, indigenous peoples' rights stresses, and natural resource stresses. And what this commission was trying to do is trying to figure out how to reconcile those so that one would recommend ideas that would work globally, regionally, and for all these various constituencies, with an emphasis on trying to ensure that we would develop behavior that would mitigate the rapid rise of effects related to climate change.
The title of the report is Our Shared Future.
Mm-hmm.
In a nutshell, could you maybe explain what that means to you? What is the future that we all share in the Arctic?
Well, first of all, the environment as a whole, and certainly climate change specifically as an issue, is not a national or regional issue. It's a global issue. It affects all of us, and it will affect all of us in one form or another. So the Arctic just happens to be a geography where a lot of these issues or a lot of these effects are happening faster in the Arctic and in the Antarctic. In the polar regions, the heating is happening faster. And that's where a lot of the ice is. And that's where a lot of new territories will develop as a consequence of ice melting. And so, on one hand, it's very, very hard to get people to think in terms of how an effect or a series of effects far, far away from them ultimately will have a significant effect on themselves. And I think the Arctic, is an area where, in aggregate, there are relatively few people compared to many other population centers, but it will have an effect on our future, most definitely and very powerfully.
Yeah, I imagine you conveyed the difficulty of understanding, comprehending the changes that might happen, even amongst incredibly smart people here who gathered for this commission. I can imagine that difficulty is even harder for like the public, people like me, to understand.
Oh, I think these issues are incredibly complex, and I think the main problem. Let's say you juxtapose what's going on with climate change and how it might unravel over time, right? And you compare that to how we're reacting to something like a tsunami in Japan. Well, a tsunami in Japan or wherever it happens to occur is an immediate effect, right? You can see it in dramatic form, and we react to that. Not to get too philosophical, but I think our brains are wired to react to that. We have trouble thinking in terms of things that unfold over time. That's a political problem. That's just the way we're taught or the way our minds work. But to grapple with this problem, you really have to imagine, 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years out. And then, that's a moral question as well as a practical question. Part of our responsibility is to leave this planet in certainly not worse and hopefully better shape for future generations. Well, if we actually mean that, we have to face this issue.
How do you see shipping and tourism changing the Arctic, and where are some of the biggest changes happening?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the biggest changes will happen in the Northeast Passage, the passage above Russia. And you know, that whole waterway, as it opens up, there'll be more and more shipping. Well, as there's more and more shipping, then there's more emphasis on, you know, territorial issues as well. So and there's more and more opportunity for accidents. And the Arctic is a pretty fragile area in many ways, or its ecosystem is. And so there's a lot to worry about there. Tourism is certainly, you know, there's more and more interest in Arctic tourism because we're kind of fascinated with that part of the world. People, you know, want to see the wildlife. They want to see the polar bears. They'd like to see some of the culture that exists up there. And that's a good and bad thing. The good part is that the more people that see these parts of the world, the more appreciation there is, and it's a fantastic way to expand constituencies. Now, the bad thing is if people go up there and they're not prepared for the challenges of the Arctic, they can get into serious trouble, and that can have an effect on, well, that can be dangerous to the people who go up there, and it can be dangerous to the system. So all of these things, like more or less everything, you know, has a good and a bad component to it. I'm an advocate of tourism. I'm an advocate of good tourism that respects an area, respects the geography, respects the people, and attempts or hopes to leave people with ideas and thoughts that make them more interesting in terms of dealing with and discussing a subject. So to me, it's not just a business. It's a form of communication that I think is actually quite vital. There's going to be lots of territory in the Arctic that was under ice that now is available for exploitation. Mineral exploitation, fisheries, shipping, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, so we've been talking about how humans are changing the Arctic in many ways. What opportunities do you see now in the Arctic to protect the environment?
Well, first of all, if we can get our arms around, as a global community, that the health of natural systems in the Arctic matter a great deal, and the health of keeping these systems intact, which means we have to change our behavior in a lot of other areas, is important, then that's an opportunity. I mean, the Arctic can be an incredible stage set to communicate and to make people understand that this stuff really matters. And so, to me personally, that's the greatest opportunity. I mean, there are lots of opportunities envisioned by people in terms of mineral opportunities and fisheries opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. I have a real personal conflict about that, about you know, to what degree is that appropriate, where are the balances there, what is the relationship of short-term human needs and long-term integrity of a place. It's a very, very, very hard question to try and figure out where you stand, because I think environmentalists or people that have cared deeply about the environment have occasionally portrayed themselves as inadvertently as being anti-human, and I don't think that's a winning strategy. I mean, people have to be able to develop, they have to be able to, you know, develop aspirations, reach those aspirations, use resources intelligently. All we need is balance.
If there was just one place in the Arctic that you care about that you could show someone, where would that be?
Well, personally, it would be Svalbard, the Norwegian Arctic, in part because I've spent a lot of time there, and I've developed a great appreciation for that place. It's incredibly wild. It's probably the best place to see polar bears in the wild. It's incredibly beautiful. So personally, I like it very, very much.
What is your vision of what a healthy Arctic environment would be like, and how is that different from the reality today?
Well, I think that you would have healthy populations of every living creature, human beings, that have communities where there's dignity, where there's good economic opportunity, where there's education that works and functions, and so that those communities are healthy and happy and thriving. And I think in order for that to happen, you have to have the natural systems, the wildlife, the glacier, I mean, all of the natural systems have to be in reasonable health, because, again, just like global warming or climate change will happen quicker in the Arctic, or temperature will rise quicker in the Arctic, the effects of imbalance with nature as it relates to people, I think, will be more profound there as well. There is a real reliance. People need the environment to thrive, and the environment needs good stewardship on the part of people to thrive.
Will you speak to the level of international cooperation needed to safeguard life in the Arctic and the ecosystems that support it?
I think at the end of the day, if you are going to change the landscape of what is ultimately, well, national behavior can be selfish behavior. If you're going to change the landscape of that, I think you need an overarching philosophy that people can understand and support. And you have to have belief systems that allow that to happen. So number one, I think that if politicians and people, decision makers, do not fundamentally believe that a healthy ecosystem matters for the long-term future of the people that they govern, I think you're lost. Because then what they'll do is they'll exploit for short term. So at the end of the day, I think you need a philosophical underpinning that this matters and this is part of your responsibility as a leader.
That's my final question. Thank you for speaking with us. What's the most important thing you want people today to know about our shared future in the Arctic?
Well, the most important thing personally is that we need a healthy environment. We need healthy natural systems in order for us as human beings to be able to thrive.
You've been listening to Sven Lindblad, founder of Lindblad Expeditions and member of the Aspen Institute Commission on Arctic Climate Change. This program was made possible in part by Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, come to the subscribe page at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.